Good morning, church.
It's
good to be here, and a blessing to be in front of you to bring God's word to you. Our Bible reading is from Luke chapter 15. If you open the church Bibles on page 874, it's a popular story for many within the church. Luke chapter 15, from verse 11 to 32. And Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son who was dead and is alive again, he was lost and is found,' and they began to celebrate. Now his older brother was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing, and he called at one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, and he answered his father, 'Look, this many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" Let us pray before. Keep your Bibles open and we'll pray before we look into God's word. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to look at your word, for the fact that you, in your mercy, continue to speak to us. In scriptures, I pray that this morning, as we look at your word, that it will find place in our hearts, that has been prepared by you, that it will touch us and will have the right impact. I pray that people hear clearly the truth that has been spoken, and people forget quickly any wrong that's said. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Luke 15, lost and found, if you want a title. How familiar are you with those words, lost and found? On the day my family and I first landed in the UK, we lost sight of my sister within minutes in the airport. Being in a new environment, we were all distracted and didn't pay attention to her when she then wandered away from us. Once we discovered she was no longer with us, we started looking frantically around the arrival area of Heathrow Airport. I'm happy to say we found her. I'm not sure what your normal attitude is when you've lost something. Is it that you're frantic or systematic? Whatever approach you take, your desire is to find what is lost and be united with it. Our text today, Luke chapter 15, reminds us that God is fully committed to finding the lost, rescuing them, and reuniting with them. And he is thorough in his search and abundant in rejoicing over the ones he rescues. Luke 15 in itself contains three parables of what is lost being found, of what has gone away from home being restored: a sheep, a coin, and a son. These parables are pictures from different angles of the lost being found and the joy that follows restoration. For an item, that rejoicing shows how much value they put on it. Jesus gave the parables in response to the Pharisees, who in verse 1 to 2, this is what the Bible tells us about them. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him," that is to Christ. "And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Jesus, in the parable he gives, essentially says to those listening that there's no one that is lost that cannot be redeemed. Yet, there are those who are well and truly lost, who don't appear to be so, or think themselves to be. The Bible in Isaiah chapter 53 tells us, verse 6 tells us that all have sinned, all have fallen short, all require restoration. But there are those who think themselves righteous and above restoration. This morning, we're still in the morning, I want us to see what lostness looks like, while also remembering that the lost can be found. Verse 24 of the Bible tells us, "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So 2 points for us this morning. Points reminding us of our desperate situation and God's restoring power to the lost. The first point, well and truly lost. Well and truly lost. If you look again in verse 11, we're introduced to this man who has two sons. Both sons, as we shall see, are lost. Jesus starts the story, as it were, with the younger son, who asks to get his inheritance early. Inheritance only rightly due to him after his father died. He essentially was saying, "Father, I wished you were dead." Clearly, this son didn't care about his father. His attention was on his father's things rather than his father's heart of love. He was already lost before he left home. After receiving his inheritance, this son wanders away from home, from the protection and provision of his father, into a far country. There he has his moment of uninterrupted freedom and pleasure, wasting his precious, costly inheritance on reckless living. He does whatever he wants, without having to obey his father's rules, since he was far from home, both physically and mentally. But this moment of pleasure he obtained by squandering his inheritance didn't last forever. Look at verse 14. It says this, "And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need." Now he's far from home. He's now in a place where no one cared about him, and he's starting to realize how well and truly lost he is. Lost, homeless, and penniless, he's driven to a low state. Verse 15 says, "So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs, and was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything." This son, who took his father for granted, not caring for his command, being ungrateful, is a true picture of lostness. And the humiliation he experiences, wanting to be fed with pig's pod, a consequence of his lostness in sin. Like the younger brother, Adam and Eve as well, in the Garden of Eden, turned their hearts from God despite his provision and tried to manufacture a quicker route to enjoying the promised reward without God himself. They disobeyed God, causing them and all their posterity, you and I, to get chased from the Garden of Eden. From that point, humanity becomes lost and homeless. That's why Isaiah 53 verse 6 tells us, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And this is the current state of humanity. We're out of the garden, away from provision, and we're left wandering. And our lowly state still continues as we wander around. Our sinful desire continues to draw us away from our provider and make us believe there are greater pleasures available outside the provision God has made for us. We're there looking for more things that God has not given us. Children, maybe you can remember a time when you were younger, when you were following your parents in a big store or if you're like me, on a street market, and then whilst you were distracted by the surroundings, you lost contact with your parent. You can wander a fair bit before you realize you're lost. And that can be the situation of some people. That's what happens when other things draw us away from the Father's heart and from our true home. We are lost before we even know it. This morning, maybe that's where you are, distracted by the good life you're chasing, pushing God to the side while you're busy squandering away what has been given to you, living without acknowledgement of the gifts of the Father. You are lost spiritually, far away from home. But as yet, you don't feel it. I'm calling to you to think about that. It's easier to see the lostness of people like the younger son, people who are reckless and let go of the guiding hand and become homeless. You can see them from afar. However, there are those who see the lostness of others too clearly, but don't see how lost they are. People Jesus sarcastically referred to in verse 7 as a righteous person who need no repentance. And those are the ones pictured in our story by the older brother. People in the Father's house, but with no heart for the Father himself. In the parable, if we remember, Jesus is speaking to Pharisees there. So in the parable, the older brother is a representation of the Pharisees, those who condemned Jesus for drawing sinners to himself. They were religious men. In fact, they're the most righteous in the land. However, they were also lost. In fact, as lost as the tax collectors and sinners. But they were just not aware of it. And Jesus wants them to realize that. Religious people like the older brother are often in the field. They're working. In fact, they can be present at the Father's side. And they're not greedy in their requests, at least, it looks like. But they're still lost. It can be very hard to notice this type of lostness because they don't seem to do wrong. People like that don't seem to do wrong. Stay in the right place. Don't disobey command. Give the right responses. Don't complain. However, very sadly, all their action is being carried out from a place of selfish mentality and a heart devoid of love because there's no loving relationship between them and the Father, like we see in that older brother story. This morning, as you're seated there in the Father's house, is your heart distant from God himself? Are you saying like that older brother in verse 29, look, this many years I have served you, and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you have never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. Are you hoping like this older son to have your own well-earned reward and I'm making that your aim, not the Father's joy? Oh, how lost he was with that mindset. Yes, he was at home in the Father's house, but he was as distant from the Father as his younger brother was. People like him are truly lost, since they don't know the Father or what the Father cares about. And their responses to the Father's joy at repentant sinners is anger and resentment. We see that in verse 28, it says, but he, that is the older brother, was angry and refused to go in. That was his response to the joy of the younger brother coming home. How sad it is to be like the older brother. Because you will also be slow in accepting the joy offered to you, if you're like him. Refusing it, in fact, if you're adamant. And sadly, that might be the case of some of us sitting here today. You turn up to church week in, week out. You attend prayer meetings. You're committed to giving. Externally, you appear to be at home and in the right place. Yet you don't have the love for God. You are far from the Father's house, from the Father's heart. While in his house, you need restoration. You need coming back to this Father. Christ shows us how well and truly lost we all are then. All desperately lost, like the older son or the younger son. But glory to God. Though we're all truly lost, Christ proclaims through that parable that the dead are made alive again, that he who was lost is found. So that brings us to our second point this morning. God's sheep are well and truly found. God's sheep are well and truly found. When we think of something or someone being found, we tend to picture in our mind the lost item getting fully restored to its rightful place and to its owner. And for that to happen, there always must be the recognition of lostness and a desire for restoration. Likewise, we all need to come back to our senses to realize our lostness in sin and the need for restoration, like that younger son did. Look again at verse 17. Okay, let's see what happened to the mind of the young son. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you.'" Coming back to his senses, this son started longing for his father, not the father's things, recognizing that his desire should always be his father's heart. The spirit of the father within the son caused him to come back to his senses and see his need for restoration. For us today, the Holy Spirit does that work. He helps us to recognize our lostness and gives us a clear picture of our loving Heavenly Father, making us long for him, not just his things. Thankfully, many of us in this room have a loving relationship with God because of the Spirit's work in restoring us. In that parable that we read, the Father is a picture of what an effective rescuer looks like. Someone motivated by love and compassion, who always finds what is missing, willingly humbling himself and going out of his way with open arms to meet the lost. This is what it looked like in verse 20. The father does this. "And he arose and came to his father," that is the son. "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him." The father rejoiced greatly at the return of his lost son. And then, after rejoicing at the return, the father also defines what restoration of his son would look like. It's a reunion characterized by joy, more magnificent than what the son could have imagined. Upon returning and acknowledging how ungrateful he was to his gracious father, the father restores this boy that has run away from home, essentially, as a son, not a servant. In verse 22, the father said to his servant, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." And then he proceeds to celebrate this homecoming of his son. The fattened calf, kept only for special occasions, was killed. The father's joy was so great at the return of his son, he throws a party to make everyone know about it. To him, it was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this son who was dead is alive again. He who was lost is found. And that's the reaction we all, I suppose, expect. When we lost something, we want everyone to know when we found it. Our Heavenly Father, likewise, is also willingly receives back all those who see that they are lost and come back to him, no matter how far from home they've gone. He welcomes back with great affection and invites us into this grand celebration. It is great pleasure to have his children come back home to him. It doesn't matter if previously you've pushed God to the sides and squandered the life he's given you, like the younger son. God will receive you home with open arms. Or maybe you're like the other son. You've been in the father's house with no heart for the father himself. The invitation of restoration and your reunion is open to you too. Open your heart to the father who loves you greatly. In coming home to God, we are delivered from slavery to sin and the desires of the flesh. We're brought to a place where we partake in true joy. Securing the freedom and joy of those lost is costly, though. The wealth of the father in the parable suffered greatly when he gave the younger son his share of his inheritance early. The father exposes himself also to shame and ridicule when, at the first instance, he runs out to embrace the son who had cost him so much. And this father also exposes himself to shame when he goes out of the celebration, the party he started, to invite this other son in. Likewise, for our redemption, our Heavenly Father paid a high price. God himself goes out to bring back the lost. He doesn't wait passively to receive them. He sends his spirit to people like us to bring us back to our senses. He sends Christ to make a way for us to come home to him. Christ's life and death on earth was costly. He did it all so that all those who were dead can be restored to life. And that saying, for this your brother was dead and is alive again, he was lost and is found, may be true over people like us. This is not restoration we could have made ourselves. This restoration is what gives us the best robe, a ring, and shoes back on our feet. It's a restoration made for us. So all who trust in the work, saving work of Christ can indeed say they are found and are restored. The father, as we've seen, goes out to both sons, but only the younger son accepts, or are we told accepts the invitation, since he alone at that point knows the father's heart more clearly. The father comes out also to the older son to encourage him to come in and join in this great celebration. He invites his son to come away from lostness, to see his own separation from the father's gracious heart, to come alive to his needs like his younger brother did, and share in his father's joy. But we don't know what he did. We're left on a cliffhanger. The last verse of the chapter just tells us what the father says. But friend, today, this means of rescue and deliverance has been made available for you. A great feast has been prepared for the celebration of coming home to him. The question is, will you accept the invitation of God into this feast, or will you let your pride keep you out? Are you willing to be found, or do you want to continue wallowing in your lostness? This invitation will not remain open forever, so you need to make that choice now. Today is the day for those who are lost to return home to the Father's side. And thankfully, if you've accepted this offer of returning home, as many in this room have, we need to make it our daily practice to enjoy the Father's presence and to continue seeking after the Father's heart, not his things, making much of his graciousness and not just his gifts. So I encourage you to keep longing for that great feast coming at the end of the age, celebrating our restoration, and don't recklessly squander your inheritance on worldly living. Keep rejoicing, knowing that you were once lost and found, and never to be lost again.